Good morning.
Good morning.
I know we're running a little behind schedule, but just bear with me. These cold mornings, I just don't want to get started too soon here, I guess. I'm going to have to go to get my engine checked while it's not revving up in the morning. So I want to welcome you all here. Just think, how many more days till Jesus' birth? I have a little something I want to read to you. If any of you ladies don't have one of these daily little calendars, I advise you to get it because you can reuse it every year. And it has wonderful scripture. It only takes a couple minutes of your morning to get started, or your evening, however. But you can get many of them. This is one from Our Daily Bread. But I advise you, or husbands, if your wives or lady friends don't have one, maybe that would be a nice idea for a gift for Christmas. It says, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And that came out of Luke. It says, we had been traveling all day and needed a motel for the night. As we drove, our hopes were dashed time and again by the sight of no vacancy signs. I was frustrated and discouraged, but then I thought of Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. I imagined Joseph pleading with the manager of the inn, telling him of Mary's condition and their desperate need for a suitable place to give birth. But there was no guest room available. Today, 2,000 years later, many people still have no room for Jesus. Although they participate in festivities of the Christmas season, they put up a no vacancy sign. As we celebrate his coming into the world to save sinners, let's make sure there is room in our hearts for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said the other Sunday, let's remember what the season is truly about. I have a Christmas communication here from Pastor Ed and Sister Deb. It says, Jesus is the gift that perfectly fits the size of every heart. To our dear Monocacy Church friends, may you be blessed with the gifts of faith, family, and friendship this Christmas and all year through. God bless and keep you all, Pastor Ed and Debbie. I'll put that on the back bulletin. Don't forget to check your announcements. There's one on there from Pastor Ed. He wants to do a card share for Debbie's 70th birthday. So if you can get a card in the mail, and it's perfect timing because Christmas Eve they leave to go to California to visit their other children, and they won't be back actually till Deb's birthday. So when she comes back, she'll have all these cards. So that will be a joy. So his address is on the back. Just take a few minutes of your time to get a birthday card and send, and I'm sure you will be blessed for that. And I won't go into the others, but okay. Any other announcements? Bob?
There's many cards in your mailboxes back here, so it'd be nice if you avail yourself and pick them up, please, after the service and just enjoy them. And also, would like to thank the Ladies' Aid for the very kind gifts that they put into the over 70 bags. It was, I ate most of that evening. It was very good. Very good. And also, don't forget, back here on the back, there's going to be a congregational meeting January the 19th, right after the church services. So as many of you as can make it, come on back in and just support the church at that time.
Okay, you want to announce about the candy?
Yes, there's Christmas treats in the back for everyone, so please grab one and have a Merry Christmas.
Go ahead. I can't see you for the tree. You'll have to holler.
Don't forget, tonight, 6:30, here for our candlelight service. We do have a nice program lined up, so we hope that everybody comes out and bring others, invite others to come, and really know the reason for the season. So join us tonight at 6:30.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, any other announcements? Oh, Danny.
Since the first Wednesday is New Year's Day, we're going to go ahead and forgo that one for the Bible study, and we're going to pick up on the third Wednesday of January.
Any others? Okay, I hear none. Let's prepare our hearts while Jerry plays the prelude. Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we must always be mindful that everything from above comes from you. Father, we just thank you for all the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the opportunity now to be in your house, to worship and praise you, and maybe just remember what this Christmas is about. It's about the birth of a king, a savior, and without him we would have no hope. So Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you do and all that you are, and it is in the precious name of your Son we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Now may we unite our voices in that hymn number 81.
Please stand for prayer.
Thank you.
we will do the lighting of the Advent candle. This fourth Sunday of Advent is of love. Today we will light the third purple candle, the love candle, also known as the angel's candle. Symbolizes God's love revealed in Christ. Purple reminds us once more of the royalty of Christ and the love that motivated God's plan for salvation. The scripture reading this morning comes from John 3, 16 through 19. And all of you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil. May we bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Lord, as we light this candle of love, we thank you for sending your Son, a gift of unconditional love. Let your love fill our hearts this season and help us to love others as you have loved us. May your love guide us and shine brightly through us in all that we do. Amen. Now, our call to Christian giving, as most of everybody here knows, that there's a box in the back you can put your offerings. The scripture comes from Romans 12, 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, even the smallest of gifts and just bring joy. I just have to tell you this. I was in the Dollar Tree the other day, and the line was long. There was only one young man doing the checkout, and the lady in front of me, there was two ladies in front of me, and the lady right in front of me, she asked the young clerk, she says, what kind of all these candies here, what's your favorite? And he said, well, I guess Reese's peanut butter would be my favorite. And she said, oh, okay. So he started ringing her up, and she took the Reese's, and she put it in with her stuff, and he was ringing, and when he got to the Reese's, he rang it up, and she said, now you take that for you. Even just a dollar candy bar can make someone's day. And I challenge you all, till now, till Christmas, when you see somebody with a sad or grumpy face on out, just say Merry Christmas. You'll be surprised. You may have one that might kick back on you, but you'll be surprised how it lifts the spirits of someone. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gifts that we've received this morning in the offering box. Father, they are your gifts. Father, and we just ask that you would bless each giver here this morning, and that you would put a special blessing upon the gifts and help us to be good stewards of those gifts so that we can do your work here on earth until you come. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, joys and concerns. Well, I just got to say, it's a joy to see that back bench filled and almost the second bench. So that's a joy. And our California peeps are in. Yeah, Frank.
You're asking for prayers, right?
Joys and prayers.
I want to continue to keep Pat in her prayers. She went this past Thursday to have her last
procedure.
And when they went in to take care of that, they realized it was about twice as long as what it was supposed to be. So she did stay overnight. We got in there around 5:45.
Wow.
want to continue to keep her in her prayers that everything goes well and she can take proper medication to control it. But thank you, good Lord, we've got it done. And we pray for everybody here that's having any medical issues and so forth or anything else. Also, continue the peace that we want for the whole world, specifically Israel and the areas over in that place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Others? Okay.
Let's keep Debbie and Tammy and Kevin and
Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan. They all got the flu,
oh,
and
no.
They took Tammy to the hospital, and it just went like each day they
died.
But it was only a 24-hour flu. But Debbie, I think, passed out born into Wises yesterday. So they need prayer for healing. And we're not sure about Darlene, because she was around them, so we're not sure if she's not here today, if she got it or not.
Well, we always keep the whole Baker clan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know that Rick's well, because he's too ornery to catch it.
Right.
Right?
And I just have some unspoken prayers, and I thank everybody for this year, the support and love they gave
me. Amen.
Yes, indeed, dear sister. Danny?
Keep Kathy on the prayer list. She's getting stronger.
Yes. Others? I think we need to keep, I got a Christmas card this week from Martha and Ernie. I'm sure most of you did. And, you know, they have quite struggles too. But let's just keep them in our prayers. They're so far away, and sometimes we forget about those of our brothers and sisters that were here and are far away. But let's just keep them lifted in prayer.
My dad died Friday, and just remembering that she adjusted life alone and just from family.
Okay. Did you hear that? Brother Goff's father passed away, so let's keep the family and his mom in our prayers. And if we can do anything, please let us know. That's what brothers and sisters are for. Maxine.
And also the Black family for losing a Franny.
Yes. We've had quite a few in the community. Franny and Marie Stamball's family.
And my sister's going back to Tennessee tomorrow.
You know, we prayed for so many for traveling this past week. Did we stop to think, oh, they all arrived safely at their destination, and did we stop and give thanks to Him? I thought about that this morning, and when I was praying, and it because they were coming from the ones that I knew were coming from all directions, and each one of them were there gathered last night with us, and just to think that they were safe. So, Karen.
Want to keep John and Anthony in the prayers.
Any others?
Yeah.
Judy?
Keep Kelly in our prayers. She had her nose surgery done this week, and she had to go back in Thursday, and they had to reopen it up and clean it out again. It was all built up again and everything, and so she's
having
a rough time with it.
Asking some unspoken requests on prayers. Along with myself, I punctured my right eardrum, and I can't hear very well out of my right. Now I know what these free guys are like trying to listen. But it's coming. It's coming along. It's healing itself, but it does bother me knowing that I can't hear out of it. So when you guys are singing, I can't hear you on this side. So But that and some joys. Last week, it was a joy to sing with the Weller's Church Choir for their Christmas cantata. What a wonderful group of people, and what a wonderful service it was. It was definitely a joy for me to share in that. And also, we had my mom's side of the family Christmas last night that we have not had in many, many years. I think we ended up with 87 total.
Wow, that is a blessing.
A lot of little kids, too, and of course, we got a visitor from the big man, and it just was remarkable of all that turned out for it, and a joy. I know my grandmother would be very excited to see that all back together again.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Okay, I forgot one thing. My wife and I didn't send any Christmas cards out this year because of the things was going on. So we want to take and extend a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone here.
Well, you know what I think you have to do now since you didn't send cards? Stand back at the door, and when everybody leaves, give them a Christmas hug. Just kidding. Right. Cards, they come and go. Hugs, oh, boy, they make you feel so warm. Any others? We have a lot to be thankful for. We truly do. I mean, each of our families probably have some kind of disruption or sickness or something going on, but overall, we have to realize that we are a blessed people. We truly are. We truly are. All right, if you could come before the Lord, however you feel comfortable to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, what can we say? Our hearts are overjoyed this morning, just thinking about all the blessings that you have given us and all the joys you bestow upon us. And the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus. Father, Son, we know that we are undeserving most of the time for all these things because, after all, we're human. But you already know that. That's why you put the plan in place for your Son to come to be our Savior. Father, we have many joys. We have the joy of safe travels that family and friends have came and gathered. And we just thank you for that. And we just ask that you would give them safe travels back home. We think of the joy of having fellowship with our loved ones. For it is few and far between when we can get the family together because life has a way of being busy and causing us to neglect what is truly important. So, Father, we thank you for the joy of family gatherings. Father, we think of those that are in need of healing. We think of Jerry with his ear. Oh, Father, we know how important our hearing is, our sight, our memory. Father, all these are so important to our everyday life. Father, we think of Pat and Frank. We think of Ernie and Martha. We think of Deb and Tammy and Kevin and Morgan and Darlene and Travis. Father, we just ask that your healing hand be upon them. We think of the blessing of having Miss Doris's peeps back there with her today and the safe travels for the California kids. Father, we just ask that you continue to keep your hand upon Kathy and Danny as he gives care to his loving wife. And we want to lift up Frank as a caregiver too, for we know that being a caregiver puts a strain on you, not only physically but emotionally. So Father, we just ask that you would lift those up. We think of Kelly and her surgery. Father, we just ask that you would heal her and get her back to good health so that she can enjoy family time in the next couple weeks and that she will be healed completely to get back to work and She will be around children, so along with that comes sickness. So we just ask that you would protect her in that area as well. We think of Ron and Nancy, who are so far away. Father, we just ask that you keep your hand upon them. And Father, for those that are mourning the loss of loved ones this holiday, we just ask that they would feel your loving arms around them. We think of the Black family, the Stambaugh family, and the Goff family. And I may forget forgotten one, but Father, we know you don't forget. So Father, just be in the midst of those families. Let them know that there is life beyond this old world, that they may have some peace of mind knowing their loved one is cared for. Father, we ask for peace in this country. There's so much turmoil everywhere you look. Father's hate is running rampant. But Father, help us to not get down and not to live in fear. Let us have fear over faith that we know the outcome of the situation, for your word tells us what will be in the end. You will be victorious. So, Father, please be in the midst of all that's going on now. And if we can do anything to spread your love, help us to be strong to do that. Father, now we just lift up Brother Sam to you. He has studied, I'm sure, and meditated. And we just ask that you be with him when he comes up to give the message, that your words flow freely from him. Give him and his dear devoted wife, Jackie, a special blessing for all that they do to build your kingdom. Father, lastly, I just want to remember our military and our police, our first responders. This is a busy time of the season, and we know many things happen, and we just ask for your protection over them, that you strengthen and guide them. We especially want to lift up Kyle, Elijah, Ian, Jeremy, Ethan, and Drew. Father, you please be with these young men. Watch over them, guide them, and direct them. Father, now we unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer to you, Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we can unite our voices in hymn number 84.
Thank you.
tell you, Pastor Sam just takes it so easy on me. I have to buy him a Christmas gift this year. The shepherd's response to the birth of Christ. Scripture reading comes from Luke 2:15. How about if we all read it together? We all have it in our bulletins. Let's read it together. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Amen. Brother Sam, get all my junk here. You're such a blessing, brother.
Thank you. We want to thank you for the over 70 gift you gave to us. Didn't even ask for identification for some reason. Why these things are. I appreciate also what Rocky Ridge and you folks do to make Christmas meaningful. Today, for the first time in my life, I think, going to church. Going from Quakertown up Long's Mill, coming this way. You folks provided 8 shiny reindeer, went right in front of us. And they were far enough ahead, we didn't have to slow down. And I thought, wow, what do you do to make Christmas? 8 shiny reindeer. And so it's great to be here and to be in the Word of God. And it's better for them to be ahead of us than to be on the top of the car. So it was interesting. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for the record in the Word of God about the coming of Christ. We pray now you bless us as we spend time in your Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the message from the shepherds. The message to the shepherds is very clear. Today, the response. When you hear God's message, what is your response? Some people believe it. Some think, I'll think it over. Well, what are you going to think about in your mortal mind with God's eternal mind? So we find the shepherd's decision. And we already had the first scripture, so Dan will, I've already had the first one here. It says, it came to pass as the angels had gone from them into heaven. All right? You've heard the message. What is your response? You've heard about salvation. Have you received Christ? My concern always is in preaching. You might enjoy my message, but that won't get you to heaven. Getting to heaven is accepting Christ as your Savior. Realizing we're all sinners. Christ died for sinners. He died in our place. We accept his sacrifice. We trust Christ for our eternal destiny. He came and gave us eternal life. So the encouragement, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now, even into Bethlehem." That "let us," that is so always so encouraging. When you can look at something and it says, "let us." There are a lot of "let us" in the Bible. One of the ones that I always appreciate, Psalm 122:1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said, it's Sunday morning on the ridge. Oh, do we still have to go to church? It should be a delight, I keep telling you. My neighbors have no idea how happy we are to come out of that driveway and come over here. They think that poor preacher, old man, got to struggle to get out of bed. They don't know what they're missing. Amen. And especially when we have prayer time. Isn't it great? The comfort of prayer. Now, we're not the only ones that get sick. But how do people unsaved with no friends feel when they get sick? They're all alone. We know we're not alone because there's prayers going up all over the place. So there's this "let us," this encouragement. In the book of Hebrews, 13 times it says, let us. Chapter 12 has a couple of them. Let us lay aside every weight and run the race. Let us look unto Jesus. Let us run with patience the race before us. Now, it's just possible we might be back again in Hebrews 12. Hint, hint. If you know my preaching, you know where we're going to go with that. So it's an encouragement to do something. When I was growing up, I chose my friends. Now, there were some, especially when I got out of Lewistown Elementary School, there's about 30 of us. And we're pretty well all grew up together, farms. And the last week in elementary school, J. Norman Harper warned us, you're going to go to Frederick, to the big school, a class of 30 to a class of 300. And I thought, really? But we got down there, and I began to see some of the kids and the things they did. I thought, man, we'd never get by with that in my home. And so I began to choose my friends. I wasn't going to get in the gang. I got in trouble. Now, in high school, there was a gang that developed that would go out and take a smoke along the creek, which is against school rules and against family rules. I thought, I'm not getting that group. One day they got caught, and I was so glad I was not in that group. They had a lot of explaining to do, and go ahead. So choose who you're going to be with to let us. Now, it says, let us now go to Bethlehem. In this case, Bethlehem was nearby. Bethlehem, from where the shepherds were, was closer than Thurmont, closer than Craigertown. I'm not sure how much closer it might be, but it wasn't far away. So they had this opportunity. Acts 17:27 says, God is not far from every one of us. Isn't it great to know that God is near? God is closer than the Rocket Ridge Fire Company. Now, we have one in Thurmont, and there have been times when, especially in our community, being senior citizens, when I heard the ambulance siren coming, and then the ambulance is coming down Moser Road, if they cut off the siren, then we're going to say, okay, which house is it now? Because we have older people, and they come quickly. But it's amazing how quick they can get there. But there's somebody there quicker. God is there. So they went there and looked at the evidence. Is it further on here in verse 15? Let's now go to Bethlehem and see. The word see means let's get more knowledge. Let me ask you this question. Are you satisfied with how much you know about your Bible? If you are, you'll never learn more. Confession. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I went to Washington Bible College. My goal was, I'm going to know the Bible in 4 years. Halfway through my senior semester, I thought, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I talked to some of the faculty about it, and they laughed. I'm not finished yet. So we want to understand the Word of God. We want to see, comprehend. 1 John 5:13. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I appreciate the fact that you folks accept me as a pastor ministry. But the greatest acceptance is God accepts us in His Son. I can't give you eternal life. I look at you and I think, you're saved. When you get to heaven, I say, why should I leave you in heaven? Well, Sam said, I'm saved. That isn't going to do it. It's God who gives us eternal life. Even Job said, I know my Redeemer lives and will stand at last upon the earth. But it's interesting. It says here in the last part of the verse, which the Lord has made known unto us. That word, known, means to reveal something previously not known. It means knowing something that if someone didn't tell you, you would not know. There are a lot of things about us that we don't understand. So it means if God didn't tell these shepherds, they wouldn't have known. It seems to me these shepherds were not saying, you know, I think there's a baby being born somewhere. So what I can understand here, when the angels appeared, they had no idea that Jesus was born. If God doesn't tell us, we're not going to know. And the key to knowing Scripture is to know Jesus. When you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And when the Spirit comes in, He is a teacher. He instructs us. So they wanted to know what had never been known before. Now, a lot of things you can see, but you'll not understand. I'm going to send my wife a message. Sign language. Now, what did I say? Did you see me do that?
I love you.
I got it. All right, we got someone knows sign language. Did the rest of you know that? She knew it because she knew I-L-O-U.
I just guessed it.
And she knows me, so she knows what it means. There are times in church, and I'm not teaching, and I'm going like this. My wife will say, what are you saying to yourself? I'm spelling something, trying to keep it. How do I remember? I have a cognitive test I've got to take every once in a while. They don't know that under here I'm spelling something to myself. But if you know sign language, you understand. Something else. Suppose Rocket Ridge Fire Company gets a call. The truck is out there. A few minutes later, you hear, dit, da, 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 dit. Did. What does that mean?
S-O-S.
Now, if you're in a fire company, you better know if that engine is sending S-O-S, it's not a Christmas greeting. So what I'm telling you is, if you don't know Jesus, you won't know the Bible. He's the one that explains to them what they otherwise would never have known. Paul mentioned this in Ephesians 2. God, by revelation, made known to me in other ages was not known. When we read the Bible, the New Testament, we know things Daniel did not know. Abraham did not know. We know so much more than what the old saints. Now, they had an idea. But David Jeremiah is telling us about the book of Revelation. They didn't know those details. So, the evidence is there. The decision is we want to find out what's going on. So in verse 16, there's a voice that might tell us what that verse says.
I think it's dead, but I'll read it out loud. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger.
All right, so Dan's going to do it one way or the other here. Discovery. They came with haste. Haste means immediate, without delay. Something that I watch generally without comment. When a parent tells a child to do something, how soon do they do it? Since we got three married granddaughters in Pennsylvania, and they have nine between them, when Becca says, do this, how long does it take to do it? Right here, without delay. When I was growing up on the farm, when Dad gave instruction, I did it. If Dad said, Samuel, I want you to feed the calves, I did not get on my bicycle and ride. Because wherever I was going, I had to come back. And the meeting would not have been pleasant. So when God speaks, how soon do we listen? God gives us instruction. We're going to think about it. Think about what? It says they came with haste. Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree. The Lord told him to come down. The Bible says he came down without delay. He came down instant. And then note what it says. They came with haste and what? Found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Seek, you shall find. Now, I mentioned a couple of times, got some responses. I grew up on a farm. Our favorite activity with my cousins was hide and seek. Hide and seek on a farm is a whole lot different than hide and seek in a house. But what is the purpose of hide and seek? It's hide and they won't find you. And when my cousin would come, as I explained, I would prepare tunnels or maybe a little cave in the mound where I could hide. I mean, they couldn't find me. But with God, he wants to be found. So they found, find out all the details. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isn't it great how God makes himself known to us if we really seek him? Deuteronomy. If you will seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and soul. I think sometimes God wants to find out, how serious are we? Are we serious about a walk with the Lord? I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy having an answer to prayer. But being a Christian is a serious thing. It's not just Sunday morning. Monday morning. I've often thought later on in my Christian life what my school bus driver would have said about my Christianity. I'm not totally sure. I'd be a Christian on Sunday, but what about Monday morning? What about riding that Mountain Dale school bus? Trying to get out of Lewistown school bus. So we seek the Lord, we'll find him if we seek him with all our heart. All right, let's go now to verse 17, just verse 17, Dan.
Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child.
When they seen it, they made known. That word means give all details. Talk about it always. Do you know people that are great storytellers? When I was ministering in Frederick, one of our elders, Dick, so Jackie knows, he was a great storyteller. And he had a dozen favorite stories, I guess. I was there for, what, 16 years, 15 years? Known him for 17. And he'd tell the same story over and over again. I heard that story so many times. One time I was with his brother, riding a train down in Virginia. And Dick was at our table. He told his story that I heard 100 times. And then he went to another table. They're going to get the story too. His brother turned to me and said, Pastor Martz, have you ever heard that story? I said, if Dick stopped in the middle of a sentence, I could finish the whole story for you. They always talk about it. But as Christians, unsaved people think, that's all you talk about. One of the things about said to my wife when she first got saved, that all I can do is talk about Jesus. Have you seen a couple, young couple, getting in love? And they want to talk about each other all the time. We want to talk about Jesus. So it has the idea, they kept on giving all the details. They talked about the angels, the babe. There's no doubt these men talked about Christ. And so I'm not an in-your-face type of person. But I do a lot of things just to drop a hint. And people pick up on it. I have a cap one time a granddaughter made, And on the front it says Martz Ministries. And I was in Lowe's checking out. And I wasn't paying attention to my cap. The lady checking me out says, what is Martz Ministries? Also, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Oh, you must preach the Bible. I said, you must be a Christian. We had an instant Bible conference. And there are times I will just drop a statement. Have you ever do that? Drop a statement and it's like a dud? Or somebody else says, yes, the Lord is good. Nothing wrong with that. Tell someone, the Lord is good. And they'll say, yes, he's good. Or, well, you can tell the response. Just let people know all the details. All right, then we go to verse 18.
And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
They wondered. It's a word that means amazed. They were stunned by what they heard. Could hardly believe it. Now, when the wise men came to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was an uproar. These wise men came, see him as born king of the Jews. Where's he born? The scribes had the answer, didn't they? They knew he was born in Bethlehem. So they would know, Bethlehem, well, yeah. They knew the Bibles enough. Bethlehem in the Old Testament. Tribe of Judah. A baby. His name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So they're almost overwhelmed with this. Somebody comes, people tell you something, and you wonder, is that really true? I was thinking about the new house being built down here, Gene's daughter. And if we were coming up today, coming by the house, if that house had been totally finished with Christmas lights, I think I'd stop the car in the middle of the road and say, wow, who did that? You ever see a sunset? You just have to stop and wonder. Maybe your English language is better than mine, but a lot of times I have a sunset. I can't describe it. Or, if you haven't learned enough, sunrise. Some years ago, we had an incredible sunrise in Thurmont. Sunrise. What people didn't know, I've never seen this before. The same time there's a sunrise in the east, there was a rainbow in the west. I've hardly ever seen a rainbow in the west. But I mentioned to people, they didn't take notice. Well, you weren't looking. You weren't up. Sweet dreams to you, but I saw the rainbow in the west and the sunrise in the east. So they are giving wonderful things about all the things that have been done. And then in Luke 4:22, it says all the wonderful words that proceeded out of Christ's mouth. When Jesus was age 12, remember the story? He's in the synagogue, he's in the temple rather, talking to people. And they're answering. They're asking him questions. He's answering. I said, 12 years old? I mean, I'm even amazed now at the things my children know, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I'm amazed at what some people know, but especially what the Lord can do for us. So now, verse 19. Interesting thing here about Mary, and there's going to be three verbs that are used, two in this passage, one later on. Mary kept. It means she remembered all details. Now, to you mothers, it doesn't matter how old your children are, you remember things about their birth. Both our children are in the 50s. Our daughter and our son. Our daughter was born Calvert County, Maryland, January 1968, during the blizzard of 68. 666, right? I get it right. The blizzard of 66. But when we go back to Calvert County, we can still talk about the blizzard of 66. Now, that's the young people in our church then, who are now the older generation now. But we remember the details. You remember the details about your children, how they were born. So Mary keeps all these things in her heart. She's mulling it over. She's thinking about it. Our son was born when, in 68. I had a pastor's conference north of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And so it was a two-day conference. I delayed the first day. Second day, 5 o'clock in the morning, I got up, told my wife, don't do anything till I get home. Well, Steve wasn't in the mood, I guess, to do that. So by the time I came home, she wasn't at home. My father-in-law was not at home. And I'm rushing to the hospital to see my son born. 50-some years later, I'm still trying to catch up with him. So you remember these things. So Mary, remembering everything, what the angels had said, the shepherds said. And then later on, it says she pondered them. That's a different word. The first word, she remembers it. The second word, it means to throw together. Try to put sense to this. You ever see events happen and you wonder, what's going on? I think pretty well, analyze what's going on. What's going on in politics? What's going on in sports? What the Ravens are doing or not doing? You know, I'm trying to always analyze. I have the facts, trying to analyze and put it together. Now, personally, I've had to experience that in my life this year. I lost my voice back the third Sunday of May. Had to have an elder help me like I'm having Dan now. And I totally lost my voice. I plan to preach every Sunday till I'm 100. And I'm not there. I lost my voice. I thought, what's going on? I had to cancel 2 Sundays here and 3 Sundays at Frizzleburg Bible Church where I was speaking. What I didn't know, soon found out. At the time I lost my voice, a young man approached that church and said, I would like to be a pastoral candidate. He took 2 of my 3 Sundays. By the end of August, he was voted in as a pastor. So now I back up and I analyze. God took away my voice so that church would have a young pastor who's not anywhere. I can almost be his great-grandfather. Grandfather, at least. And so I began to understand my voice. About the time that I lost my voice, my wife and the surgeon decided she's going to have a left knee replacement, a medical procedure. I did not know how involved knee surgery is. We had to go to the cardiologist. We had to go here. We had to go there. We even had a class. I had to go to a class to see how they're going to operate on my wife. And then after the operation, you folks were gracious and brought food. I hadn't thought about eating after my wife's surgery, but it didn't take me long to remember appetite. And so there were things. I even had to learn how to shop. I even had to learn where things are in Weiss and Thurmont. Thanks for the ladies who were kind to me and showed me where it is. So I realize now God took away my voice, so I'd pay attention to my wife's need. Would you folks agree? In the doctor's office, I should be paying attention to what the doctor's saying, not what my next sermon's going to be in Rocky Ridge. And so I look back and say, God took away my voice. Church got a new pastor. My wife's recovering. My voice is getting back. I've been speaking again. So she was pondering and throwing all these things together. God makes no mistakes. But then there's one more verb, and that's found in Luke 2:51. It's way down the end of the chapter. So let's go to one more word in Luke 2:51. He went down to Nazareth with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to his mother. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. You don't see it in English, but all of these words are different words. The first kept means put things together. Or just, excuse me, the first means just have the facts. Second, put together. But the third word means now you understand what's going on. It's like cooking. You get the ingredients for a pie, for a cake. And then what do? You put it in a mixer. Then you bake it. Then you eat it. All that. And maybe you forgot one ingredient. Oh, I forgot to put in this or that. Now you know. So at the end of chapter 2, I think Mary has an idea of what's going on. When the angel said, you're going to give birth to someone, he's going to be a savior. He's going to be born where lambs are born. John says he's the Lamb of God. And I wonder, we have that song, Mary, Did You Know? And I agree with the song. But I wonder if Mary maybe knew more than we think she knew. Because she knew this child was born from the Holy Spirit in her body. And so Mary ponders all these things, and she understands this is the Savior. I would go further, but at the cross, I wonder how Mary thought about it. Her son's dying for the sins of the world. He's our Savior. And so Mary had great remembrance. All right, verse 20.
Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
So the shepherds returned. They went back to their own people. I believe people watch us a lot more than we think. I think people are watching us all the time. I know our neighbors are watching. People we know are watching us. We have a testimony. They went back to their own people. There were other shepherds. Hey, did you hear what happened in Bethlehem? And they were going back to their own people. There goes that siren, and maybe somebody needs help. So they went back to their own people, their own residents. As I mentioned about my wife, was the first one in her family to come to know the Lord. That's why they said it first. Is that all you can talk about? And then I was pastoring down in Prince Frederick when we started our courtship. The Lord brought us back to her home church. So I pastored her home church. And my mother-in-law was not that regular in church. She said, if Sam becomes the pastor, I'll be there every Sunday. My mother-in-law kept that promise 39 years until she went to be with the Lord. The first convert in that church when we came back was Jackie's Aunt Charlotte. That was February 1967. Charlotte just went to be the Lord about a year ago. So God used Jackie's family, brothers, sisters, relatives, cousins. Now God's back here in Frederick County to work with my cousins. So people do watch us. They know how we live, and we're a testimony. Know what it says? Glorifying. It means magnifying the Lord. That's where we get that word doxology that we talk about here. Whether we eat or drink, what we do all for the glory of God. There are things I think, why do I do that? I do it for God's glory. There have been times with me, maybe with you, you do something significant and nobody pays attention. But God does. I'd rather get a lot more praise there than get it all here. So we glorify the Lord. And they said, praising the Lord. This is a use of only praise to God. They didn't think a lot about Mary and Joseph, but they praised the Lord. and give God the glory for it. For the things that they heard and seen were told to them. We have in Acts 3 an interesting story. It says a lame man that was healed by Peter. And it's an interesting thing. It says he leaping up, stood, walking, leaping, praising God. I get the impression this guy was lame. When he got healed, he must have given one massive jump, pole vault, and wouldn't stop walking. I mean, if you can't walk for 6 years, all of a sudden you're healed. I can imagine my wife, if her knee was perfect, she could outrun me. So here he was at, but it says he was walking, leaping, praising God. And the end of Luke, the last verse, they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. You can't say enough good things about the Lord. Something I'm doing right now at home, I'm going back over the year. I'm now evaluating 2024. Good points, bad points. I got one section. I'm going through the whole year, just answers to prayer. I can't believe how many times, oh, that's right. Man, I had a rough year, so did you. But the answers to prayer, how gracious God is. We're here today because of God's grace. May each of us continue praising the Lord. Let's bow now and pray. Father, again, thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for saving us and working in our lives. May we live for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.